Welcome to Alive to Give Life, the online teaching ministry of Pastor Pascal Nguyen. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive City Church. He's a seasoned and anointed teacher of the Word of God. As you listen to this message, get ready for a complete turnaround in every area of your life. Now, let's join the message already in progress.
This morning, I'm continuing on our new series, Finishing Strong. Finishing Strong. It is part of our loyalty series. I teach this series every end of the year. Till Jesus Christ calls me home, I will be teaching this every end of the year. Finishing strong. Quickly this morning, four reasons why you must be a loyal person. A loyal person is a person who sticks with the thing until the end. A loyal person is a person who doesn't change just because things have changed. Why must I be a loyal person? Why must I become a loyal person? Quickly, reason number one, you must become loyal. Why? Because God is loyal. Loyalty also means faithfulness, to be faithful. God is faithful. The Bible says in Malachi 3 verse 6, I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. I, the Lord, do not change. Do you know that every time you've sinned against God, imagine if God was changing over you every time you do something bad. How many of us are going to be here? He says, I do not change. He placed Adam in the garden. Adam messed up, but he didn't change. In fact, he showed Adam more love after the garden than before the garden, because he sent now his son to die for the descendants of Adam. I, the Lord, do not change. I want to tell you something about God this morning. God never changes. You can change, but he doesn't change. When God tells you, I love you, I'm going to bless you, God will never change that. That's why I love God. Because sometimes me, I change. I go off. But when I come back, I find him on the same throne, looking the same way. Some of you remember the story of the prodigal son. He left the father, went and plundered the money, did so many bad things. And he was convinced as he's coming back, the father is going to chase him away. But when he came back, the father welcomed him with open arms, gave him fresh clothes, put sandals on his feet. God has done that for many of us here. You abandoned God. You went back to the world. You did so many bad things. When you come back, he doesn't wait for you with a slap. He waits for you with a kiss. I, the Lord, do not change. That's why you are not destroyed. The reason why you are not destroyed is because God doesn't change. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. His faithfulness will never leave you. He promises, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will always be by your side. The word of God doesn't change with the weather. What he said 2,000 years ago, he's still saying the same thing today. God doesn't change. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 13, he tells us, if we are unfaithful, I mean, if we become disloyal, he says, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. He cannot deny himself. God is literally telling you, for me to become unfaithful is like I have stopped being God. Yeah. To be God means you are faithful. The qualifications to be God means you don't change. You are the same person. And everybody here is a child of God. And as a child of God, you should be like your father. Every time you change, you are denying yourself your true nature. This loyalty. He said, if I was like that, I could not be God again. Faithfulness is what makes God God. Reason number two, why you must be loyal, is because since the fall, man became disloyal. You must understand that naturally, we are unfaithful. Naturally, man is disloyal. Do you realize that? It only took two chapters for man to fail God. A perfect man created in Genesis chapter 1:28. By Genesis chapter 3, he has failed. We didn't even reach Genesis chapter 5. We couldn't survive Genesis chapter 3. The very chapter 3, we couldn't make it. We failed right there. It took just one snake. One snake, not two snakes. Just one snake. And we changed towards the God who loved us. The God who created us. The God who blessed us. He created everything and placed us there. And he said, don't eat that. And he went away. When he came back, he found out that, we became clever. We went and ate. By nature, man is disloyal. By nature. By nature, man doesn't keep his word. Look at this interesting scripture. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. God is not a man. Look at that. God is not a man that he should lie. So God is telling us men are liars. God is, the scripture doesn't say God is not the devil that he should lie. He says God is not man. Man is a liar. God distanced himself from us. He said, men, you can't trust them. He said, God is not a man. Not a devil, a man. A man. So look at what we have done. We have successfully replaced the owner of lies. Because Jesus told us that Satan is the father of lies. So if you have to talk about lies, you should talk about the devil. But man went beyond the devil. Man became the owner now. Like if when God talks about liars, he doesn't even use Satan anymore. He says man. Men are liars. Neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Shall he say and not do? Because that's what men do. They say something, but they don't do it. And shall he speak and not make it good? Reason number 3, why you should be loyal. Because Saul, the first king Israel ever had, was rejected because of disloyalty. You know, one of the most dramatic and heartbreaking stories in the Bible is the story of Saul. I'm telling you. The story of Saul. I'm finishing in 5 minutes. Just give me 5 minutes. Saul. God took Saul from nowhere. He had no future. No one knew him. God took him and anointed him king. Anointed him king. But unfortunately, Saul's kingdom couldn't last 2 chapters. I tell you. 2 chapters, it couldn't last. The reason I'm teaching you this, because I want you to realize that many of us here, God might have come to your family and he picked you. And he starts working on you, just like he did with Saul. But between that time and now, you don't know what happened. Why things have stopped happening. Maybe you don't have a prophet like Saul had, a prophet Samuel to come and tell him, look, God is about to do something that you don't like if you don't change your ways. So man is a liar and man can become disloyal towards God himself who created him. And we see that here, Saul started well. But he didn't end well. 1 Samuel 15 verse 11, God is speaking. God says, have you seen God regretting before? Okay, you're seeing it for the first time. God says, I regret that I made Saul king. Like God is saying, I regret that I gave her a job. I regret that I gave her a fiancé. I regret that I allowed him to enter university in this area. I regret that I opened that door for him to come into and study here. I regret that I allowed him to come to this place. God is saying, I regret that I made Saul king because he has turned away from following me. The New Living Translation says he has become disloyal and has not carried out my instructions. I regret why I sent her to church there, because she was supposed to do this and this. Look at what she's doing now. I regret that I made her a cell leader. I regret that I made him a pastor. I regret that I gave him this. I regret that I brought this opportunity to her. Look at where we are today. The person has changed. He even told Saul, when you were small in your eyes, I made you king. Today you are big. You can change my instructions. When I said do this, you go and do your own thing. But just yesterday, no one knew your name. I regret why I brought you to this place. Because you are no more faithful. You are no more loyal. You have changed. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 28. Samuel said to Saul, the Lord has torn the kingship of Israel away from you today and has given it to your neighbor who is better than you. Proko Shabayadega. Your neighbor who is better than you. Who is better than you. May God never take away what he has given you. May you always be that neighbor that is better. I say, may you always be that neighbor that is better. Not a neighbor that is a shame, that God has to take from you and give to another person because of disloyalty. Because God cannot trust you. God cannot trust you. I therefore decree, may this never be your story in Jesus' name. May you be that person that will be selected when others are rejected in the name of Jesus. The key is loyalty. Be loyal. Be loyal to God. He is the one who raises up and takes down. It's not your boss, it's him. He is the one who appoints and disappoints. You want to be loyal to a boyfriend and you become disloyal to God, you are making a big mistake. You are making the biggest mistake of your life. Because God is the owner of all flesh. The owner of all flesh. You are loyal to your account, but you are disloyal to his tithe. You are making a big mistake. He says, I regret. Why I gave him this thing. He is not fulfilling my duties. Never. So we can be disloyal to God and end in shame. Like Saul. But that is not the only level. Last level, you can be disloyal to a man of God. And that's the reason number four. Why must I be loyal? Because Miriam was punished because of disloyalty. I must learn from Miriam's story. Miriam, Saul lost the kingdom because of disloyalty. So I must never be disloyal. So I'm going to end up losing like him. And Miriam was punished severely because of disloyalty. I must never be disloyal. I'm ending by telling the story of Miriam. We're just going to read it through. Exodus chapter 15, verse 20. Then Miriam the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took the tambourine in her hand, and all women followed her with tambourines and dancing. This is how prophetess Miriam began. Prophetess Miriam was in the church of Apostle Moses. Moses was the pastor of the church. And Miriam was a prophetess in the church. And the day God used Moses to part the Red Sea and the people passed, Miriam said, my God, I have a powerful pastor. Our pastor is the greatest pastor. God is using our man of God. She took tambourines and she encouraged the women. They celebrated their man of God. They were so excited. Miriam started well. She was singing praises to God because of the man God had given them. Miriam sang to them, sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse, talking about the Egyptians, the horse and its rider, he has hurled into the sea. This is Miriam praising God because she saw how God used Moses to destroy the Egyptians. She was so blessed by what Moses did. She sang to the Lord. I'm talking about a second type of disloyalty. The first type is your disloyalty towards God. It has consequences. But there's another disloyalty towards the man of God. So she started so well. And many people start well. Oh, you must come and listen to my pastor. Oh, you must see our pastor's wife. Oh, this and this. Nice. But not long after that, after Genesis is Exodus. After Exodus is what? Huh? And then is what? Uh-huh. It's Numbers. After Leviticus, few months in the church, she entered the numbering time. She entered Numbers. When she entered Numbers, things change. Let's go to Numbers chapter 12 from verse 3. Actually, give it to me from verse 1. I forgot to give it to you guys. Start from verse 1. Now, look at the same Miriam. The Miriam who just sang praises. Now, Miriam and Aaron. Aaron was the brother of Miriam. Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of the Cushite wife. For he had married a Cushite wife. A Cushite wife is an African woman or an Ethiopian. Moses married an Ethiopian wife. And because Moses married an Ethiopian wife, Miriam the prophetess thought she has the right to criticize him. So she began to speak against him that this man, he says, is a man of God. He says he's leading us. But look at what he just did. He went and married an Ethiopian woman, a Cushite woman. Verse 2, she took it further. She now says, has the Lord spoken only through Moses? They ask, hasn't he also spoken through us? So she first started by criticizing Moses' marriage. And I want to tell you something. Listen to me. Most men of God, their marriages are usually not nice. Yeah. It's either the children that are going off key or there are small problems there and there. And sometimes believers get involved. It didn't start today. It started here. Miriam felt she has the right to criticize her man of God. Then she started saying, has God only spoken through this man? We also are hearing from God. When I open my Bible, God is also speaking to me. And the Bible says, and the Lord heard this. Can I tell you something? Moses didn't hear it. Moses wasn't there when they spoke. But the Bible says the Lord heard it. And that is where the problem begins. Now look at verse 3. Now Moses was a very humble man. More humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. Sometimes you are criticizing a man of God. You don't know how God knows that person. You are only seeing what you see. You don't see the other things that only God knows about the person. That's why we say, don't talk what you don't know. Do you understand that? Like, God was pleased with Moses. And God was so pleased with Moses because he had his own agenda and his own view of Moses. So Moses is very humble. Very humble. There is nobody as humble as him on earth. And you are seeing his Cushite wife. And you think he's giving you the right to talk. Can we push it a little bit further before we close? All right. And at once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out to the tent of meetings, all three of you. So the three of them came out. Verse 5. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance of the tent and summoned Aaron and Miriam. So God called the three of them. Then God summoned Aaron and Miriam. When the both of them stepped forward, then God starts. You can sit down. Put your hands together for them. Look at verse 6. He said, listen to my words. When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions. And to him, I speak to him in dreams. So he says, when you have a prophet among you there, when I want to talk to your prophet, like you, Miriam, I talk through dreams and visions. Verse 7. But this is not true with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. In other words, Moses is the most loyal person in this whole camp. That's the person you have touched. Verse 8. It says, with him, I speak face to face. Clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Why were you not afraid? He is not in your class. I'm helping you understand why there is no power in the church. Why people are lost. Miriam thought she had the right to speak. God says to her, when I want to speak to you, some of you guys, I speak in visions and dreams. When I talk to Moses, I don't talk visions and dreams. I come face to face. He sees my forms. So why were you not afraid to speak against him? Why were you not afraid? You know, today, believers are not afraid to speak against their pastor. They criticize him all they want. In fact, they talk over him in a meal. They are eating ice cream and they are criticizing the pastor. No fear. Anybody that was harsh yesterday in the kingdom can open their mouth and talk. No fear. And the media is not helping. So everybody thinks because the media is criticizing the church, everybody has the right to criticize. But what you don't understand is that that man you are criticizing, God might be knowing him in a way you don't know. Before you, he might be a guy who is using the money to buy big cars. Before God, he might be a very faithful person. You don't know that. So when you start talking, prepare for the punishment. Verse 9. The anger of the Lord burned against them. And he left them. When God leaves without saying goodbye, prepare yourself. Look at verse 10. When the cloud lifted from above the temple, there stood Miriam, leprous, like snow. So the moment God returned, she became a leper immediately. And it's interesting that Aaron didn't become a leper. That's why I kept saying as I was reading, I believe it was Miriam who was criticizing. Aaron was just listening. Yeah. So be careful the people you are, you know, you are just talking. And they are listening to you and you feel, I must talk more. When the punishment comes, sometimes they are not dashing. You are the one who carried the whole punishment. Prekashata prokateba. Ante Prado. Her skin became like snow. Aaron turned towards her and saw that she had leprosy. So it happened so fast, he didn't even realize as God was lifting, he left her with leprosy. Not both of them, her. Because she was the one talking. And I'm sorry to say, women can talk. Oh, they can talk.
Yeah, did you see? Did you see? And the Lord heard it. I said, and the Lord heard it. Lord heard it. Who does he think it is? Talking.
Sometimes the man is just quiet. Most men are like Aaron. He just, yeah.
Yeah. But you must also say something. Say something.
Leprosy. Verse 11. And he said, now Aaron said to Moses, please, my Lord. He realizes that Moses is not just his pastor. He said, please, my Lord, do not hold this against, do not hold against us the sin. We have so foolishly, so now he realized that they were so stupid, they were foolish to do what they did. We have so foolishly committed. Please, can I help you? Aaron didn't pray to God. He prayed to Moses. So some of the calamities that have hit some of the children of God, they are crying to God, Lord, please help. God says, it's not me you have hurt. You have hurt your pastor. And until you can humble yourself and go and ask for forgiveness, the leprosy will continue. That, you see, Aaron didn't pray. God is the one who left the leprosy on this woman. But he didn't cry to God. He turned where he knew the problem came from. Are you here? Are you learning anything? All right, look at verse 12. Do not let her be like a stillborn infant coming from its mother's womb with its flesh half eaten away. He is crying out, interceding for his sister that please, her skin is now like she's half eaten. Verse 13. So Moses cried out to the Lord, oh God, please heal her. And she was healed. God heard it. God heard it. The Bible says all authority is from God. Yeah, when God gives you an authority, don't play with it. If you respect it, you will enjoy the benefits. And if you despise it, it could have been better for you to not even come in the first place. And I usually say, I don't understand why some people will come to church with a problem, then multiply their problems by speaking against the pastor. Like you already came, you have so much problems. Then you now add more problems to the ones you came with. Let's be loyal. Let's be loyal. I want to end by giving you one verse. Who must I follow in this journey? Look at Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. The author and finisher of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. It wasn't easy. Sometimes between you and your pastor, between you and your church, it will not be easy. But you have to learn to be like Jesus. Endure the cross. Those difficult times, they mustn't take you off. You must still be there when the difficult times are over. I say you must still be here when the difficult times are over. You must still be standing. Jesus endured the cross. It was not nice. He endured it. And the Bible says he despised the shame, the mockery. Hey, you're also going to that church. You're going to that church of that guy. You're also going there. Mockery, shame. People are laughing at you. You are following a small boy. They are laughing at you. Are you going to despise the shame?
Or are you going to let the shame take you off? And the Bible says, because of that, he is now seated down at the right hand of the throne of God. Philippians says, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is high above every other name. I'm here to tell you, there is always a sunshine after the storm. May you never be wiped away by the storm. May you still be around when the storm is over, so that when the sunshine appears, you are ready to receive some ray light. Hallelujah. Give the Lord Jesus a hand of praise.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message. To experience our services live, join us every Sunday morning from 9 a.m. at a Life Street Church Sun City, located near Cornerstone Academy. Hope to see you soon. Remember, you're alive to give life.